Beloved, this psalm gives us, as I said already, five pictures of redemption. The first picture is that of the wanderer. The second is that of the prisoner. The third is that of the diseased person. And the fourth is that of the mariner, or the sailor. And the fifth and final picture is that of the farmer. This evening we want to consider the first picture in verses 1 through 9, that of the wanderer, and how the Lord redeems wanderers, and how we can give thanks to the Lord for His wonderful works of redemption to the children of men. Our theme then is wanderers redeemed. We'll first look at their roaming, and then their redemption, and thirdly, their response. Historically, this psalm calls to mind the wandering of the Israelites as they walked through the wilderness, as they roamed for 40 years, going to and fro in the wilderness, approaching the land of Canaan. But it does more than that, doesn't it? It's not just a historical picture, it's a spiritual picture of our hearts apart from God. As our hearts, as we wander in this wilderness of a world apart from God, it pictures the restlessness of the human heart apart from God. This roaming is pictured in several different ways in this passage. I pray that as we see this roaming heart emerging from the words of this psalm, that it will strike a chord with us. That we will see in some way our own hearts reflected in this wanderer, as we see him roaming in the desert, trying to find a place of permanence, a place of being filled and satisfied, hooking into the beatitude that we heard about this morning. It's only when we have a right estimation of our wandering hearts that we will have a right estimation of the grace and the goodness of God, and then form a fitting response of praise to God. I contend with you this evening that if we do not rightly estimate the wandering of our hearts before grace and the tendency of our hearts to wander after grace, we will not be able to grasp rightly the grace of God where it's needed. We will not be able to form a fitting response of praise and thanksgiving to God for that redemption that He works in the hearts of wanderers. So then we see the severity, don't we, of the wandering heart. From the wandering from which God redeems such wanderers. In verse 2b, we read this: whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. The spiritual picture is clear, isn't it? We have, apart from God, we have wandered into the hands of the enemy. We have wandered away from God. We've turned our backs from God. And we've wandered willingly into the hands of the enemy. So much so that we've made friends with the enemy apart from the grace of God. Isn't this what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden? Children, you know that story very well. Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve. What did they do? They turned their backs on God and they made friends with the devil. We could say they made an agreement with the devil when they took the fruit of the tree. They turned their back on the agreement that God had made with them, that they would not eat of that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, and they wandered away from God. They wandered away from His promises. They wandered away from the life that God promised to them. We need to keep this imagery in view, this first picture from the Garden of Eden, because it's going to come back again in this psalm. The God's redemption, the point is that God's redemption reaches to those who have wandered away from God, to those who have turned their backs on God, to those who have made friends with the enemy. God's grace finds such wanderers and He brings them back to Himself. Such is the wonder of grace, that God takes those hearts that wander away from Him and bring them back to Him again, releasing them, breaking the power of the devil over such hearts. That's what we've been reminded of, haven't we, in communion this morning. That Christ came into this world, that he went the way of the cross to break the power of the devil over sin and over us so that we might be set free by the grace of God, that we who have wandered away from God might be brought back into fellowship and communion with God. So God's grace reaches the hearts of those who wander away from him. He redeems from the hand of the enemy. That's what we're reminded of as we see this picture of the redeemed wanderer. Let's also see the extent of this roaming. Let's see how far this wanderer has roamed from God. They've roamed in every direction. In verse 3, that we read that God gathers out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, from every direction, from every corner of the globe. God redeems wanderers. And so we see the extent to which such wanderers have roamed. Harsh forces have displaced the wanderer, forced him out of his native country into the wastelands of foreign cultures and people. Calling to mind, doesn't it? Israel in the land of Egypt. Israel in the land of Babylon, where they were pushed, as it were, because of their own sins. And this is the effect of sin, isn't it? Displacement from the land and place of promise. Displacement from the very presence of God. And again, isn't this reminiscent of the garden scene? After Adam and Eve had plunged the human race into sin, after they had wandered away from God, they were driven out of the garden. Away from God, they wandered. And what did God place at the entrance of the garden? An angel with a flaming sword that moved in every direction. And here we have God coming and redeeming from every direction. Where that sword is turned away and God brings back wanderers into his presence again. And so you and I were left to roam in the vain pursuit of finding rest. It's a sobering picture of our wandering as we move off into every single direction of the globe, as it were. Going in this direction to find satisfaction there. Going in that direction to find satisfaction there. And never actually finding it. Until God finds the wandering heart and brings them back. Reaches in every direction. And brings wanderers back into his presence. Such is the glory of grace. That's what we're reminded of this morning and this afternoon in communion. That God brings from every tribe and tongue and nation and seats them at his table. That's the grand picture of the supper of the Lamb in Revelation, isn't it? So God's grace reaches in every direction in spite of our wandering in every direction. The wanderer roams in desolate places and loneliness and aimless. Verse 4 we read, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. Apart from grace, that's where we have wandered. It calls to mind where the children of God have been. The world is a waste, howling wilderness, a desert with a harsh climate that offers no relief or rest. The world draws with the promise of companions and friends. But the reality is that there's only loneliness apart from God. No amount of friends in the world can replace the friendship of God and the presence of God in our lives. We read here that the wanderer seeks for a city in the wilderness, but will never find one. When he thinks he has found a city and a place to find rest and relief from the searing heat of the world, it proves to be a mirage, a city that will not satisfy, a city that will not provide refuge and safety. It's a figment of the imagination, a trick of the devil to get us to think that we can find a permanent place in this world. No, we are reminded, even as we partook of communion, as we looked forward to heaven, that we have a permanent address, not in this world. We have a permanent address in heaven with Christ. And that's where the grace of God finds the wanderer. Do you remember that place, believer? When you wandered in the wilderness and the grace of God found you and brought you back into His presence. You're looking for that place of permanence and never finding it until God found you and brought you in by His sovereign grace. Do you remember that roaming marked by emptiness? Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. The wanderer stumbles along in the desert with no food or drink. The world promises satisfaction, as we saw this morning, but it will never satisfy. The words of Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Why would we spend money for that which does not satisfy? Hungry and thirsty, we fainted with no food or drink. No spiritual life-giving nourishment apart from Christ. But then the grace of God found us and said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And as this painting emerges of a wanderer, this is what we're reminded of, believer. This is where you once were. And if we're honest with ourselves this evening, we confess that there are still remnants of this wanderer within us. That we're not entirely free from the wandering ways that we find in this text. But by the grace of God, this is what we've been delivered from. From wandering. No longer let loose. No longer in the clutches of the enemy. No longer having to find permanence in the world. But finding it in Christ alone. No longer having to try and find a city. No longer having to try and find satisfaction. But yet we know what it means to sing. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. When we've been filled with Christ, we recognize that proneness to wander. But we come back and we say, here is my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. And so this portrait reminds you of your ongoing need of God's redemption in your life to bring you to that final resting place in glory. That you can't live apart from God and His redeeming love. This is what draws you to Christ again and again, doesn't it? This is what we're reminded of in communion. That Christ alone can fill us and redeem us. That this is what He has redeemed you from and will continue to redeem you from until the very day that you die, when the wanderer will be brought into the city of glory. And you will be free forever from the influences of the evil one. You'll be walled into that city, never to leave again, never to wander again. You will be by the side of Christ. We say with the words of the psalmist, a paraphrase from the Psalter, closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. And so as we are reminded of where we've come from, where God has redeemed us from every direction and He's redeemed our wandering ways, we press closer into Christ. We press closer to God because that's where we will find all that we need for our soul as we go out into the world again, as we engage the world, as we go to speak to others about the redemption that we have experienced, the filling of Christ for our own souls. And so this is an accurate picture, isn't it, of where we once were, but also from where Christ has redeemed us in His goodness. But there are some of you who are still wandering. There are still some of you who are still wandering on your own account. And some of you perhaps enjoy wandering. Some of you maybe are sitting here this afternoon and you're unmoved by the grace of God. You're unmoved by what you've witnessed today. the love of Christ as he comes down to feed his people. Some of you are still in the clutches of the enemies, I'm afraid, wandering in the harsh desert climate of the world, hungry and empty. I pray that you would see yourself this evening, that you would come to your senses, that you would cry out to God, just as the wanderer does in this psalm, verse 6, to cry out to the Lord in your trouble, in your distress. Cry out to God in repentance and faith, saying, I've sinned against your goodness, O God. I have heard of you Sunday after Sunday, and yet I have not turned to you. Lord, I repent of my sin, and I need that redemption that you so willingly give and that I so desperately need. I invite you to come and see how God redeems wanderers just like you. Talk to those people that were around the table, and they can tell you how God redeems wanderers like them. How he's continuing that work in them, in spite of who they are. Come see his goodness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his mercy. Those who come and cry out to God, he will hear. That's what we see in verse 6, and that's what we see in our second thought this afternoon. The wanderer cries out to the God who redeems. And they cried out to the Lord in their distress, in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. The wanderer cries out to the author of redemption, to the Lord himself, to Jehovah who saves, to Jesus. Psalm 107 highlights several things about our faithful Redeemer. The first thing is that he is good. Several times the goodness of the Lord is highlighted in this psalm. In verse 1 we read, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. In verse 8 we read, O that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Think about this for a moment. The Lord's goodness is especially displayed in the redemption of wanderers like you, believer. He is so good, isn't he? He saw you wandering on the road of sin. He rescued you from your wandering. He saw you headed to the cliff of destruction, and he reached down and plucked you in his mercy and took you for himself. He sees and he knows the tendencies of your still wandering hearts. He comes and he offers himself again in the gospel. Reflect on that. He offered himself in communion again. His broken body and his shed blood, reminding us that this is what has secured our redemption from wandering. A display of his overwhelming goodness to the children of men. He is so unspeakably good. He sees wanderers this afternoon who have never been rescued. He comes for you in the gospel this afternoon, and he says that it's his goodness that leads you to repentance. It's his goodness that comes down and takes hold of a sinner and overwhelms with his goodness. As it's contrasted with your sin and with your wandering. And it's this that leads to repentance, a turning away from sin to the living God. He is good. He is so good. I urge you not to let his goodness pass you by this afternoon. He's not only good, but he's also merciful. Verse 1 emphasizes this as well. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. The word mercy here is the Hebrew word chesed, the word for loving kindness or covenant faithfulness. There is no God like the God who redeems. If we go back to the picture of the garden, Adam and Eve turned away from the agreement that God made with them. But what does God do? God keeps His agreement, doesn't He? God is faithful to His covenant that He made with Adam and Eve in the garden. He's faithful to His covenant made with Abraham. He's faithful not just to Adam and Abraham, but He's faithful to His own Son with whom He has made the covenant of redemption, which is the foundation of the covenant of grace that He makes, this agreement with Adam and with Abraham. Because of that agreement with His Son, He redeems wanderers in His mercy. He comes down. He will not let you go, believer. But He's faithful in His redeeming transformation of your life. He's not going to stop until it's complete. He will perfect that which concerns you. He is faithful. And yes, sometimes it's painful. But God is faithful. He is merciful. He is good. It reminds us of His faithfulness in the table, the fellowship with Him. It wasn't your faithfulness that brought you to the table, but it's His faithfulness. And now He calls you to go out in faithfulness and to live a life of praise and thanksgiving for His redemption. Maybe you wandered already since communion. Bid you come again and lean on His faithfulness. It's His faithfulness that draws you back and redeems you from your wandering ways and binds your heart closer and closer in communion with Him. This is His character that undergirds His work of redemption. His goodness and His mercy. They endure forever because God is eternal in and of Himself, and He cannot change. So His mercy cannot change. His goodness cannot change. God is who He says He is. We can bank on that this afternoon. He will redeem us from our distresses because He is faithful. He redeems the wanderers from the hand of the enemy. And that's what He does in His goodness and mercy. So there's this character on the one hand, and then there's His work on the other that gives us a clearer picture of who God is and what He does in the life of a wanderer. Redeems from the hand of the enemy. The chains are broken. We no longer go back and put those chains on us. Those chains are broken forever because of the mercy and the goodness of God. They lie broken on the floor, useless in the face of divine sovereignty and grace. The strong man, Christ, has marched into our lives and broken those chains once and for all. He has put them on Himself, as it were, as He was counted as a transgressor on the cross. Took upon Himself the wrath and the curse due to us. This is God's grace that is able to break the chains of sin and Satan. Those chains no longer bind you, and this is your confession, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Indeed, let the redeemed of the Lord say so this afternoon. He has redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. I am His. I am His servant to do His will, to do His bidding. His mercy is more than all my sin. His goodness has captured me. Indeed, He gathers the dispersed from every direction. Access is opened again to the tree of life. We were reminded and we were invited into the presence of Christ Himself this morning at the table. To partake of the tree of life of Christ Himself. To look forward to when we see Him in His glory. He gathers from the east and from the west. From the north and from the south, distance is no issue for this God of redeeming grace. He finds wanderers everywhere. In the most distant and remote places of the world, He finds them sunken in the lowest and most depressing and darkest circumstances. He gathers them into one body, brought back and restored to the land of promise in Christ Jesus. Christ left his native land, his native country of heaven. He entered into hostile enemy territory, the hostile lands of humanity. He came down. He heard the cries of distress. He came to restore wanderers to the land of promise. Oh, the magnificence, the redeeming love of Christ. One day, that gathering will be complete. We've had a foretaste of that today as he gathered us around the table. But one day, believer, we will know. We know that drawing will be complete from the east and from the west, from every tribe and tongue and nation, from every kindred of the world. He draws into fellowship and communion with him to sit around his table. He redeems from every direction. He redeems and he leads the wanderer in the right way as he hears their cry of distress. He leads them from the desert into the lush pastures of his grace. This reminds us of Isaiah 35 and the king's highway of holiness, where the barren desert will be turned into a spring, into an oasis. And a way will be marked out there, blazoned by Christ himself for the redeemed wanderer to walk in. As the wanderer stumbles along, disoriented, discouraged, parched and hungry, he's able to croak out a cry in his distress, and the Lord hears and intervenes in his life. The Lord hears it immediately. In fact, the structure of the poetry in the Hebrew in verse 6 emphasizes this. We could structure it differently than it's translated here. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Out of their distresses, he delivered them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Out of their distresses, he delivered them. The word order there is significant. That God doesn't delay in hearing and answering the prayer of those who cry out in their distress. He comes down and he hears and he answers and he redeems and he draws to himself. He leads the wanderer in the right way. The Lord sends in response to this cry, the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered into this waste howling wilderness of a world, challenging and triumphing over the powers of darkness, over our triple-headed enemy of sin, the world, and Satan himself. As we see the life of Christ, he was parched and overcome with weariness and thirst and sorrow. To lead wanderers out of the desert and waste places of sin. He takes these wanderers, he gives them himself to nourish and sustain them. That's what he did for us this morning. He brings them back to the path that he has blazed to the city that is their final refuge. He takes them to the solitary wilderness and sets wanderers in the family of God. He takes those for a city who are searching for a city for permanence. Leads them to himself again and again. Verse 7, we read, he led them forth by the right way. They might go to a city for a dwelling place. He's blazed the trail for those who are the simplest in faith to follow. A fool will not err therein, we read in Isaiah 35, in the way that God has set up. Where does that trail lead? To a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The city which Abraham looked for as he wandered in the land of Canaan. God reminds us this evening of his redeeming grace in the midst of a world that is shifting and temporary. and marked by vanity and vexation of spirit. Oh, how good and merciful the Lord is to wanderers. Let's reflect back on communion and see how the redeeming grace of God has broken into our lives. How God comes so very low and feeds and nourishes us in the gospel with Christ Himself. Indeed, that's what He reminds us of in this passage as well. Verse 9, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Notice what the Lord satisfies these redeemed wanderers with goodness. This brings us back to God Himself, doesn't it? God is goodness. This brings us back to God, and He fills the hungry soul with goodness with Himself. Believer, this is what God has done for you. He's redeemed you from your wandering. He's taken you. Set your feet in the right path. He's filled you with Himself, with His goodness. His mercy has overcome your sin. Reminded of that song, His mercy is more. Every time we're reminded of our sin, we're reminded that His mercy is more than our sin. It's His goodness that has led us to repentance. But to those who are still wandering, let me ask you this. Where are you this afternoon? What are you doing as you're wandering? Are you wandering aimless? Are you feeling dispersed and far away from God? Are you searching for answers to life's questions? Are you looking for permanence? Are you looking for foundation under your feet, for a city of habitation where you can settle and be at rest and be secure? Are you looking for your soul to be filled, for that longing to be satisfied? Maybe you're trying to take the edge off by living in the world. Let me remind you that you will never find rest in the world. The only place you can find rest is in God. The only place where you can find rest is God. Being brought to your wit's end in the midst of your distresses, to cry out to God for His goodness to invade your life. When you cry out to God, He will surely hear. He will redeem those who cry out to Him. This picture of redemption is proof that God will redeem those who cry out to Him. God is not slack concerning His promise. He is good, and He is faithful, and He redeems the wanderer. When He has performed His work, and when He continues to perform His work in the lives of His own, it calls for a response of praise and thanksgiving. And that's our third thought, the response of the wanderer. If we know the twin truths of being a wanderer and yet redeemed, we are called to the double duty of giving gratitude and glory to God for His redemption. The very first verse of this psalm calls us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. It's a call to worship and praise the Lord who is ever good and faithful. How do you praise Him? The way the psalm calls us to praise Him, by reminding ourselves and speaking His mighty acts of redemption in our lives to others. Verse 2 points this out. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And it goes on. Speak His acts of redemption to your spouse, to your children, to your fellow believers, to strengthen them. Speak His mighty acts of redemption into the lives of unbelievers in your spheres of influence at your work, in the grocery store, your neighbor who does not know Christ. You see, this is how God receives glory for His redeeming work. We're not called to hide now after being filled that communion. God calls us to go out and to praise Him with a life of thanksgiving. A life of thanks living, we could say. To speak His mighty acts of redemption, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. As we reflect on communion today, one of the best ways that the Lord receives praise for His goodness and mercy is in your living testimony and witness of His redeeming love by eating with Him. This signals not only that you are a wanderer in need of grace, but that God has begun and continues His work of redemption within you. You see, attending communion is not just going to be filled, but it's a profound act of thanksgiving for what God has done in Christ for our souls. By going to communion, you profess your gratitude to the God who redeems and who has done for you in Christ what you never could have done for yourself. Redeemed wanderers ought to be the most grateful people on the face of the planet. This gratitude is reflected not only in attending communion, but by continually crucifying the wandering tendencies of your heart to follow God and stay close with Him in communion beyond the table, walking according to His commandments, following in the right way that He has called us to because of His redemption. See, the end goal, as we heard this morning, was to be remade into the image of Christ. That's the end goal of God's redemption, to put us in that way to reflect the holiness and the glory of Christ in our lives, wherever we go and wherever we are. The call to glorify God also comes in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The work of the Lord's redemption ought to be the subject of our praise as we sing together as a church family, as we go out into the world, as we work in our workplaces. Are we praising the Lord for His redeeming work in our lives? As we go out this week, let our lives be a reflection of this praise that is due to God. That men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Again, it comes back down to that picture of the reflector, doesn't it? Living a life of thanksgiving and praise. Reflecting, in a sense, the goodness of the Lord. Reflecting His redeeming love to the world around us. Consider where you once were, a child of God. A wanderer, lost, aimless, hungry, thirsty, chained to the enemy. Christ has come to set you free. And those whom He has set free are free indeed to thank Him and to praise Him with our entire lives. What does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? To offer our lives, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, our acceptable service to God in response to His redemption in our lives. Consider what you still are in yourself, prone to wander. And consider who God is in His redeeming grace. And let this form your response to God. And before others, a response of praise and joy. Rejoice and sing of His redeeming love. If you know that cry of verse 6, we're crying out to the Lord in your trouble. That cry ought to be matched with this response of praise, a song of praise to God for His redeeming work, for the continuation of that redeeming work in your life. Spurgeon said it so poignantly. He said, so often we leap in prayer and we limp in praise. We leap in prayer when we're in trouble. We cry out to God when we're in trouble, but we limp in praise in response to His redeeming grace. That ought not to be. As we come away from the communion table today, we ought to be leaping in praise as well. Our response ought to match the redeeming goodness and mercy of the Lord. And so the challenge comes to us from the Word of God to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Each of our stories is going to be different in how the Lord has redeemed us. But it's going to bear some of these characteristics of wandering, of the Lord coming and redeeming us from this wandering, bringing us into communion with Him. So we have to praise and give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for His filling and satisfying His children this morning with Himself in communion. And again now, through the preaching of His Word. Let us go from this place rejoicing and singing of His redeeming love. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Here is the picture of a wanderer. One who is roaming far away from God, but whom God has redeemed in His grace and mercy. One who is now transformed from wandering into a life of praise and wonder, the goodness and the mercy of God. Amen.